Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It is our prayer, our desire to see you join in and get information that otherwise you perhaps would not find. And secondly, that you might understand that from a central biblicist worldview, that all that we see in our nation and around the globe, all of the events that are taking place, everything that we see in Washington and in the beltway of what is taking place with the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats in Washington, and those that are the rhinos in Washington also, I might add, all that we see with that, it might seem strange and disheartening oft times, but we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. It's what does the Scripture say, the Word of God. And as we see the Scripture and we understand that these things are not taking place happenstancely, these things are not taking place just in some weird way, even though they are wild and unusual for the society in which we've been accustomed to for all these centuries as Americans. But yet at the same time, we need to understand that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, and that as a result of that, nothing takes place that surprises God. And so we need to, from a Christian perspective and a conservative perspective, and from the patriot's perspective, we need to rejoice in the understanding, the realization that we're watching the eschatological truth of the Word of God unfold, and be on display each and every day. I am, ladies and gentlemen, thankful that we live in this era. Even though it is dark and dangerous, as is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, and destructive. And we're seeing that today, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps as never before. We're going to be talking about today a question. Do we need gun control in America? Do we need gun control in America? And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if you're familiar with the fact that when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms, the doctrine of self-defense, that was codified in the Scripture. Yes, God gave us the right of self-defense, codified in the Scripture, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Courts down through the years, and to be carried out by we the people. But yet we have in the Beltway in Washington today, every time there's a shooting of any kind, especially if it is with an automatic rifle or weapon, somehow, some way, that's weapons of mass destruction. That is something that ought not to be utilized. And yet our Bill of Rights and our Second Amendment does not codify it in that fashion. But we're seeing that today with the hue and cry for gun control, gun control, gun control. We're going to talk about that today. We'll talk about the moral, ethical, social declension in America that I believe leads us to the point and position where we're seeing these so-called mass shootings taking place, and we will see more and more of them, in my most humble opinion, as we remove God, as we ban God, as we ban the Bible, as we use disparaging rules and regulations and laws to tear down and destroy morals, ethics, and values based on the biblical principle. We're finding that today. And the Scripture is very clear. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What God says in Psalms 11:3, it is something that we need to take serious consideration of and answer the question today, do we need gun control in America? I'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to look at all the ramifications of this tragic event that took place in Colorado. We're going to talk about the hue and cry from the president and from others, and we'll look at it from a central biblicist worldview. It is the Word of God, the truth book, that I recommend to us all. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want to ponder on that for a moment for us, and I don't normally do this at this juncture in our broadcast, but Jesus said, if you continue, if you stay in, you dwell in my word, that's the word of God, then you are my disciples indeed. The word indeed means surely, truly, absolutely. One of the evidences of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is continuing in the word of God. And then you find further in that, and you shall know the truth. As a result of staying in the word, dwelling in the word, being a constant, continual disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know the truth. And it's the truth of the word of God that Jesus says shall set you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the light for our pathway and the lamp under our feet. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that said many years ago, in fact, in his fictional dystopian novel that he wrote called 1984, George Orwell said this: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be very, very true today. But may I remind you of the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. So that's my challenge each and every day to our listeners, is to love the truth, to listen to the truth, to learn the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even if it means death for us. That ought to be our commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That ought to be our commitment to the Word of God, is that we are willing to take a stand, even if it means standing alone, even if it means our lives being taken as a result of standing for the truth of the Word of God. That's what we need in America today more than anything else at this particular juncture in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, and they can answer all of your questions about professional and homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where Old Glory, the 165-foot flagpole with American flag flowing 24/7. Find Old Glory, the American flag flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take just a brief moment and give just a portion of the monologue introduction. Then we're going to take our first callers. But ladies and gentlemen, today, I think before we enter into any further dialogue and discussion about the tragedy in Boulder, Colorado, I believe we need to be in serious prayer for the families of the 10 that are killed by the Islamic jihadist that opened fire in a grocery store. Yes, he was an Islamic jihadist. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. He's not your normal, what you'd call mass murderer. Though he was a mass murderer, he killed 10 people. But I want us to understand all of those that he focused on. He went in deliberately, focusing, aiming, one at a time. It wasn't just the pulling the trigger and having mowing people down. Although he shot 10 people, it was one shot at the time, killing 10 people, all of which were white people. And he's an Islamic jihadist. Answer that for me, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We can't imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the heartache, the anguish these families must be going through right now. And we need to pray for them. Pray for the police officer that left his family with a wife and 7 children as a result of this lone gunman, this Islamic jihadist gunman opening fire in the on the shoppers in the grocery store. Across America today, we are finding and hearing some vastly different ideas as to what happened and how it could have been prevented. ladies and gentlemen, most all of the news reel and the news media within 24 hours of this taking place, they were talking about it was a pro-Trumper, a white man that were doing the shooting. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a farcical lie. That was a determined decision to do that. They went to press without knowing the facts. And the facts are, ladies and gentlemen, that this was an Islamic jihadist with a focus on killing anyone that's non-Muslim. And I can prove that to you in the Quran, which is the book that is lived by the Islamic jihadist across America and around the globe. I believe we have Derwin on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I hope you are.
Pretty good. I want to, there's several points I hope I can just leave you with, and you can break them down, discuss them, or disregard them as we go through the program. But number one thing is this deal about taking up the firearms. Well, anybody that can think is a normal adult can see through that. I mean, that really doesn't need much depth. But you know how you have people screaming for term limits? And when they scream for term limits, what they're talking about is interfering with my First Amendment right. I got a right to vote a guy in. I don't care if he's as dumb as a stump. You see?
Yes.
But I'll tell you where our damage comes is all the bureaucrats that stay there and retire with million-dollar pensions and all these perks. They should be the bureaucrats should have a life in the federal job sector for 8 years. They pay into Social Security, and you know, they buy their own insurance just like everybody else. Now, the perk they'll get is when they come out of there, if they're a good Democrat, they'll know how to steal anyway. So nothing really lost. But, you know, don't mess with my First Amendment. And I think that's what this gun reclamation is about. You know, they want us disarmed.
Absolutely. And Derwin, let me jump in for just a moment.
Sure.
And make a little refinement of some of the points that we talked about. But number one, you're exactly right. The bureaucrats, the embedded bureaucrats, the fact that takes place here in Jacksonville, that takes place in Tallahassee, that takes place in every state house in the nation, it takes place in Washington, in the Marble Castle, in the Beltway there. In fact, when the major, if I could say that, era that President Donald J. Trump made was that when he went in as president, he didn't just clean house. He had about 4,000-plus people, embedded bureaucrats in the State Department alone. He had several additional thousand in the Department of Justice that he didn't remove. And the overwhelming majority of those bureaucrats that were embedded were antithetical to anything that Trump wanted to do. They were pulling back, digging in the heels, and trying to refuse to allow anything that he wanted to be accomplished to take place. So you're exactly right. In fact, a statement was made a number of years ago while I was walking the hallways of the House and the Senate in Tallahassee working on some higher educational bills. Some of the statements that were made by some of the bureaucrats there, they said that the elected leaders could not even find the bathrooms if it were not for the bureaucrats that were embedded and would stay government after leadership after leadership. Their philosophy is that governors come and go, but we're here to stay.
And they roll over. In other words, if they're boss is voted out, they hang around like a buzzard, and one of the new incoming people will pick them up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
so
you
you're
know,
exactly just right with that. And with that being said, what they wanted to do in Washington is take away our First Amendment right, our Second Amendment right. In fact, they want to cancel the Bill of Rights completely. And that's what we're talking about today. Do you think, Derwin, before I let you go, do you think we need gun control in America? You think that'll stop the mass murders or the shootings that we see?
Absolutely not. We don't need it. I mean, that's a psychological action played out. I mean, it's psychological, in other words. It's not the gun. The gun didn't do a thing, and it can't do a thing. It's inert. It's got no brain, no nervous system or anything.
Exactly.
How can
right.
you blame a gun? That's like blaming an SUV for running over a kid in the school crosswalk.
So we're going to ban all SUVs then.
Right, exactly. And did you know there are more murders in the United States done by the famous claw hammer than any by firearms?
Oh, absolutely. We have more that are dying each year by way of medical malpractice and by automobile accidents or crashes or collisions, et cetera, than COVID could ever think of doing and that so-called mass murders could ever think of doing. And as you said, the gun is an inanimate object and cannot pull the trigger. It takes the wicked heart. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? It's the wicked heart with the wicked finger that pulls that trigger that does the killing. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. But, Derwin, keep on looking up, brother. Thank you so much for your calling in. Good to hear from you today. And your input is very valuable and very valid in what we're saying today. Thank you so much. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood.
Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be brief. The founding fathers were educated and believed in God and Jesus. The Second Amendment was written as a single sentence. A lot of people don't realize that, but it's actually one single sentence.
Yes.
And I will state it for you right here. A well-regulated militia, comma, then they quantify that by following up after the comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma. So they qualified what the militia was and why they're there. The right of the people, the following and last statement there, the right of the people to bear or to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's a pretty simple sentence. And I believe that if government was not involved in the abuse of that infringement, that incident wouldn't have happened yesterday. An armed society is a polite society. I would never have walked into the store with an evil intent, knowing that I wouldn't have been able to get away with it the moment I stepped in the store. I mean, that fear of judgment has to be in the criminal's mind in order to deter him, because we're all basically flawed. And we all have in our heart that darkness that could take us there if we don't watch what we're doing and we don't keep our eyes on biblical scripture and Jesus.
Absolutely.
And I'll leave it at that.
Let me ask you to hang on for just a minute. Let's examine a couple of those points that you make. You're exactly right. My question is to you and to our listening audience and to any bureaucrat that may be listening, what does it mean shall not be infringed upon? It's the only one of our amendments in the Bill of Rights that has that statement, shall not be. Didn't say may not be or should not be or can be occasionally, but shall not be. It's a definitive statement given by our founding father, shall not be infringed upon. And what they're doing when they talk about any gun control, it's infringing upon the Bill of Rights. And right now, there's 8 gun bills passing through the House. 2 of them have already passed the House and gone to the Senate. And one of them will cause the ammo to have a 50% sales tax on any ammunition that is sold, a 30% sales tax on any weapon that is sold. And they're doing that thinking that if we can limit the ability of people to buy a weapon or to buy ammunition, that it will somehow limit the number. But there's another factor in this gun violence, as they like to call it out in Boulder, Colorado. This young man, 21 years old, was a Syrian Islamic jihadist. And so now you're talking about when a person walks in with the mindset of not walking in with a fear and trepidation that someone might be armed, as I understand what you said. But that's not so in the twisted, wired brain of an Islamic jihadist, because he wants to become a martyr. This young man, based on what has been determined just at the early stages, was bragging about his Islamic position. In fact, bragged to one of his friends about, as a Muslim, if anybody says anything to hurt or harm him, he would make up things and call it in as a hate crime against an Islamic person. He said, a Muslim may be flawed and have problems, but the Quran is not flawed and does not have problems. And I call to your attention and to the listeners' attention that throughout the Quran, it is filled with nothing but hate, vicious, vile material. Surah 2:191, and kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of all non-Muslims. And I could go on and on and on with dozens and dozens and dozens of the verses or surahs from the Quran. So now how do you cure that problem?
You're asking me, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes, sir.
There's only one cure for that, and that's the love of Jesus Christ. But beyond that, if this same warped individual who has desires to martyr himself to his interpretation of his God would have raised that rifle, and a good, outstanding Christian young man would have said, okay, I'm going to send you to see Allah, then none of those other individuals would have died.
Amen. You got it right on target, brother.
You have a right to defend yourself, in my opinion. You have a biblical right to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
My job is to love God, love Jesus, protect my family, protect my wife, work hard. You know, it doesn't get any simpler than that.
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, the right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense, is codified in the scripture multiple places. In fact, I have a book that I had the privilege of researching and writing and publishing a number of years ago called The Doctrine of Self-Defense, and it is an in-depth look at the Second Amendment constitutional right based on the Word of God, and you find that to be validated throughout the scripture. Jesus, in fact, told his disciples, if you got two outer garments, sell one and buy a sword. And a sword was the key weapon of that day. It wasn't a Glock or an AK-47, et cetera. I say to people, and I don't mind telling anybody, I believe in the right of self-defense. And I say to people, if you're going to come in and harm me, our congregation, or my family, you better be prayed up to Allah or somebody, because I'm going to exercise my Second Amendment right. And I believe that that's what every Christian needs to understand. And yet we've been taught from the pulpit so much in the past 50, 60 years by bleeding heart, well-meaning, liberal, spineless pastors that guns are bad. You ought not to have a gun. In fact, it goes along with what the Pope has recently said, that if you own a gun or if you have your manufacturing weapons or you're buying and selling guns, that it's evil and wicked and God's going to send you to hell. Yet the same Pope said that hell doesn't exist. But he's condemning anybody in America that believes in the right to keep and bear arms. But, Jim, you're exactly right. The only thing that will turn America around, or the world in general, is to know Jesus Christ and to have that heart that says, I love people and I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to honor God. But at the same time, does not diminish or destroy our right to keep and bear arms. Go ahead, Jim.
May I make one more point, sir?
Yes, sir.
I stress this to everybody who's listening to my voice. If you do have a gun, please use it. Please retain it responsibly. Get some type of training on it. Be proficient with it. Know its operation. Know its safety functions there. It is a great responsibility to possess and own one. Do not take that duty lightly either.
Yes.
Get training. Get training. Get training.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for those comments, and especially
thank you.
The final comment on being safe with it. Absolutely. Jim, thank you, and have a blessed day today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you believe that our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms, can be, should be, or shall be infringed upon? And any gun control bill, as they call it, is an infringement on our right to keep and bear arms. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have the one that just took place out in Boulder, Colorado, where the Islamic jihadist, Syrian-born, came into America in one of the amnesty programs years ago. And as a result of that, he still has the animus in his heart for anybody that's a non-Muslim. And that's the Youngblood footnote on that subject. Some might disagree with me on that. That's your prerogative. Love to hear from you today. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have those in our Beltway in Washington today, that across America we're finding and hearing some vastly different ideas about what should take place and how it should happen. And first of all, I think we need to understand that this Colorado gun laws, the laws in the state of Colorado, are perhaps some of the most stringent, strict gun laws in the nation. And yet this young man went in and bought a weapon legally purchased it, legally had a background check, legally owned the weapon. So I want you to ask the question and answer very clearly. If you have stronger background laws, if you have stronger gun control laws, will it prevent one, if he passes the law's requirements, will it prevent one from buying a weapon and then using it willy-nilly in a wrong fashion? How many more guns would it take? Just one more gun law? How many more gun laws would it have taken to prevent this Islamic jihadist from killing 10 people? I want you to answer that question. Would it take one more, two more, 10 more, 50 more? How many more gun laws would it take, the total confiscation of weapons in America? Would that have stopped him? And the word answer is absolutely no. When someone, when a thug or an Islamic jihadist is determined to go out and kill someone, he's going to find a gun, whether it's legal or illegal. They're going to buy the weapon. If you don't believe that, and we'll talk about it further in this broadcast, if you don't believe that, just do the research of what's taking place in Chicago, Illinois. There's 20, 30, 40, 50 shootings every weekend. You don't hear these bleeding heart liberals, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others in Washington. You don't hear President Biden saying anything about we need to have something done in Chicago. And yet murder after murder, and it's mostly black-on-black crime where these are being murdered. Most of them are youngsters, teenagers, and early 20s in their ages that's being murdered every weekend in that city and in others like Baltimore, New York, et cetera, across America. So if we want to stop gun violence, what do we need to do in those cities? And yet Chicago has another one, is another one of the cities that has the strongest gun laws. Guns are banned in most part, for the most part, in Chicago. And yet we have guns violence rampant in that city. In the state of Colorado, they have the red flag law. The red flag law, for example, firmly, and I'm firmly in disagreement with the red flag law, by the way. We have it in the state of Florida, the red flag law. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others want to have that on a national basis with a federal red flag law. I believe, and I'm going by from memory, I believe we have some 12 or 14 city states in America today that have the red flag laws. Perhaps you say, well, what is the red flag law? Red flag law, very simply, succinctly stated, is where you can have snitches. Snitches, you hear me? Snitches that will tell someone that you're dangerous, that you have a weapon. In fact, they could make up a lie and say that that man is walking down the sidewalk, twirling his pistol, shooting at the mailboxes, and he's dangerous. And it may be a total lie, but before daylight the next morning, law enforcement can smash your door down, come in and search your house, handcuff you, hold you off, hold you for 10 to 14 days. In fact, I think most of the state laws with the red flag law says up to 14 days, hold you for up to 14 days, confiscate your weapon, and then you've got to prove that you're not nuts. You've got to prove that you're not a fruitcake. And some that have had their weapons taken just here in the state of Florida, they've now been wrestling in the courts for some 2 years or better just to try to have their rights restored and their weapons, their property restored. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the snitch law that that person, a family member, a worker, co-worker, a neighbor, or someone that just happens to see you can privately, without identifying who they are, can privately notify the local authorities, the law enforcement, and say that you're a danger to yourself or to others. And law enforcement, they can come then without a warrant and can go into your home and take your property and lock you up. So, no, I'm against the red flag law because that is a very, very clear violation of the Second Amendment rights, in my opinion. But it's under Governor Rick Scott here in the state of Florida that otherwise would have been considered a good governor that signed that wicked law into being in the state of Florida. And that very law is in the state of Colorado. In Colorado, you have to have a serious background check, and you have to go through the red flag law requirements. But this man, this Islamic jihadist, passed everything that was required and got a legal weapon. And so my question is, ladies and gentlemen, and it begs to be asked, demands to be answered, what else could have been done to prevent him from shooting 10 people? And my answer is nothing, because it was the motivation from the Quran that motivated him to do what he did. In fact, it is very clear, for example, in the Quran in Surah 456, for those who disbelieve in Allah, we shall burn them with fire. Surah 4101, the disbelievers, that is all non-Muslims, are ever upon you as your open enemies. Allah prepared a humiliation, torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 4 and verse 2, or 102. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk in more detail after the top of the hour news, but it's a very serious subject. Love to hear from you. Let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917. The question is today, do we need gun control in America? We're going to delve into more detail about this right after the break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.